Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, his name is Brian Windhorst. He covers the NBA for ESPN. He's been a very busy man. He joins us now. Brian, thanks for the time, as always. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thoughts on the Kyle Anderson deal for the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, yeah, you know, it's hard to steal a restricted free agent. He's an average player. He's making the average player's salary, essentially. He's, you know, a limited shooter, which is something you'd like to have today, but he's an above-average defender. He's got good size. And I was reading something out of San Antonio today that said he was going to play some backup point guard. That kind of surprised me because I didn't know he's got such ball handling skills. But, you know, he's a hard-nosed player. He's very fundamentally sound. He's well-schooled. He's got great size and length. His skills aren't that great. He's a smart player. So, you know, he's a guy that you want on your roster, but I would say that if he's one of your three or four best players, you're going to be in a little trouble. You need him to be sort of the mid-scale player. And, you know, it looks like he intends to be the starting small forward, and, you know, that's an indication of how they think about Chandler Parsons as well going forward. So, fine addition. I'm way more excited about Jaren Jackson and I am about Kyle Anderson.
So we'll get to Jaren in just a minute. I'm glad you brought that up. But unlike Chandler Parsons, you don't believe the city of Memphis will look back on this deal and lament it and curse every time it comes up?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's Robert Parrish spending money when he's already pretty deep into spending. You know, not every team is out there this summer using their full mid-level exception. So I think that's relevant to pay attention to. I think the other thing is that what I look at, you know, if you're signing a star player, that's one thing. Every other contract I look at, I say, can you trade this contract? And I believe that they could, if they had to trade Kyle Anderson tomorrow, as an example, they could trade him. There's not been that many four-year deals given out this summer, specifically four-year deals to non, you know, star-level players. And that's a little bit unusual. You know, you get locked in that long. If you get an injury or something, it's problematic. But as I sit here today, I don't think it's a bad contract.
Do you think, because you hear this sort of line, and I guess it's kind of true, that when, you know, free agents leave the Spurs, they're rarely ever the same. But in this case, I feel like, and you could do it, I guess, either way, Memphians are saying, well, he came from the Spurs, and he got developed, and that's where he was groomed to be a professional. So is it a good thing that he's coming from the Spurs, or is it a bad thing that the Spurs didn't match? Like, how should we view it?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that before, but there hasn't been that many free agents leave the Spurs.
Right.
I mean, you know, I know Jonathan Simmons left last year, and he got an average contract. He had an average season. I don't think people in Orlando are like, oh my God, we are expecting an MVP and we just got an average player. I mean, you know, there have been a few for sure. But again, I think Kyle Anderson is just a solid player. I think he's a guy you want to have on your team. I think he's an average player and he got an average player contract. I mean, I really, and that's not meant to be an insult. I mean, he has positives and negatives. He's, you know, my reaction is fine. Nice addition. That really, more than that, I mean, it's going to be incumbent on Bickerstaff to really work. Again, I want to say Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Jaren Jackson, those are the guys I'm more focused on. And if Kyle Anderson has a good game, then you applaud him. But I'm going to say that most nights are going to go by and you're going to feel like, oh, okay, Kyle Anderson was fine. Yep. I think that's kind of what you're paying for.
Brian, before we get to Jaren Jackson really quickly, Chandler Parsons, two more years on that contract, $24 million, you mentioned it, $25 million in 19-20. What can they do with it? I mean, you eat it this year, right, and you see what you can get from him. But in 19-20, is there an easy way to get off that thing? Do you do what OKC's doing with Carmelo? Like, how do you see that playing out?
You know, it's interesting. We just had this very interesting Zach LaVine contract yep. given out. Now, Chandler Parsons was not a restricted free agent. He was unrestricted. Mm-hmm. But in that contract, I was not familiar with this clause. I had to have it explained to me by a guy in the front office. I won't even say which team. Where if Zach LaVine tears his ACL again,
they got protection,
that they can get out of that contract. I had never heard of that clause.
Yeah.
I've heard of plenty of contracts where you can't get insurance on a player. But this was even a case in a restricted situation where that's a hard negotiating tactic. Typically, that's not something that's going to be in an offer sheet, but that's beside the point. And I don't know enough about Chandler Parsons' knee to be able to say whether his injury has been exactly the same as he had mm-hmm. when he was in Dallas. I haven't followed that closely. But I will say this. When you have a guy, I mean, you know, and I would assume that this sort of same situation would happen now that the precedent's been set with Jabari Parker wherever he signs. Because he's torn his ACL twice in the same knee. Mm-hmm. Teams are afraid now of being caught in what happened to the Grizzlies with Chandler Parsons.
No doubt.
Wow.
It's still too much money, I think, to stretch and waive.
Okay.
It's just too much money. Yeah. And like even the Lakers, which are the richest franchise in terms of the money that they bring in, they're blanching a little bit at 2 years and $36 million of Luol Deng. They're saying to themselves, that's a lot of money for a guy who's not going to play. So I think that's an option a year from now, but I think this year you're going to try to bring Chandler back and yep. hope for whatever he can give you to be considered a bonus.
Yep, we are, of course, talking gotcha. To Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN on Twitter, at Windhorst ESPN. You did bring up Jaren Jackson Jr. He has been, top to bottom, one of the better rookies in both the Utah and Vegas summer leagues. You sound excited about him, Brian. We have reason for hope in Memphis, you're saying.
Yeah, this is the first round issues with the Grizzlies have been well documented. We don't have to go over it. I am not a big consumer of college basketball, okay? And I am not a draft expert. But after the finals, I had to prepare for our draft coverage, and I spent a week watching film on the lottery picks. And I just loved what I saw in film from Jaren. He is such an NBA-ready player. His game translates to be, you know, the ability to switch, great competitor on defense. I mean, the Big Ten is a defensive-based league.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a defensive, first off, to be defensive player of the year as a freshman
yeah.
in any league, I don't care if it's the American East Conference. That's really impressive to me because defense is something that's learned over time. So the fact that he was defensive player of the year as a freshman really impressed me. So I watched how he switched on to players. I looked at the analytics. And then, of course, he can hit the outside shot. He's shown a little bit of ability to score inside as well. And I just liked everything about him. He doesn't have a huge amount of bulk on his frame. And that's, somewhat of a concern because by the time a guy gets to that age, you know, sometimes he is who he is. Sometimes they're going to add some weight just because they'll get a little bit more mature. But I don't think that you're going to ever expect to put 35 or 40 right. more pounds on him. I think he is what he is. But I just, like, he may not be the best player in this draft 3 years from now. But I definitely could see him being one of the three most impactful rookies from that group, especially amongst the big guys. I really, really liked the film that I watched on him, and that's not to say that I'm guaranteeing anything. Again, I'm no draft expert,
right.
and I really don't even. The thing about summer league guys, typically playing well in summer league is less predictive than playing poorly.
Mm.
It's a little bit more concerning if you play poorly than it is if you
right.
play well. But I just really like his game. I think he fits in beautifully along Marc Gasol, and I think he's going to be a contributor and a factor from day one.
Love to hear
okay.
that. Now, and I know who else would love to hear that. That's Grizzlies owner Robert Pera, because he publicly said he'd like to win 50 games this year. You look at what happened around the West, and
yeah.
that seems very daunting. Is it possible, Brian? Is 50 wins attainable, or is that absurd?
Well, I don't. I've been looking at the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers are going to get to 50 wins. So, I mean, the thing about it is, it's hard to find wins in the Western Conference.
Yes.
You know, the Suns are going to be significantly better. Like, you don't look at the Suns and go, Well, there's a guaranteed four wins like you do like you did a couple of years ago. And, yep. and certainly in the East over the last few years, there were teams where you were like, you know, when Philly was the dregs and Brooklyn was the dregs, you're like, that's, you know, if you were a top team, you're like, that's 3-1 or 4-0, 3-1 at worst. You just don't see it in the West. The only road apple I see in the West is Sacramento, and they're going to win games at home. I mean, they have some talent. So, like, you know, so last year, I think 47 wins got you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't have it right in front of me, but I kind of think like 50 wins or 51 wins had you in the three seed.
Yep.
So, you know, when you say you need 50 wins, that's not as – you may need 50 wins just to get to the playoffs.
Yep.
So I definitely expect the Grizzlies, assuming that Conley is okay, come roaring back to contention. It's one of the reasons why I look at the Lakers and I don't say – I mean, they'll probably make the playoffs, but I don't say guaranteed playoffs because – I'm looking out there, you know, they had, for the Lakers example, they had 35 wins last year. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they need 12 wins to get to the eighth seed from a year ago. And I don't remember how many wins the Grizzlies had. It's kind of immaterial because they were tanking.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't just count on more wins. So it's going to be a real grind. But what I'll say is with Conley coming back and Jaren Jackson, I think from day one, and now you've got a defensive-minded three-man who I think you can feel like you can start. It's kind of like importing three starters.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good about the Grizzlies being a contender for the playoffs. That's saying something considering he just had the number four pick.
That is saying, especially with what the rest of the Western Conference has done. That's definitely saying something. Luke Walton, I read, Brian, and Ty Lue going to meet to discuss, among other things, how to coach LeBron. What advice would you give Luke Walton, Brian?
You know, LeBron is a guy who has very high standards. He wants to be impressed by his coach. And what I mean by that is he wants to have a good game plan presented.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to, under pressure, have the coach deliver good options. But as a coach, you kind of got to have a thick skin because there's going to be times where LeBron blows off your game plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to sound – it's not going to sound right, but LeBron doesn't always have maximum respect for his coaches. Not that he has disrespect for them, but a lot of times he thinks that he is smarter and can get it done himself.
I believe that.
And that's the case with a lot of his teammates as well. So it's a real challenge for LeBron. Really what you try to forge is some sort of partnership. And I do think that Ty Lue had success. Although LeBron has not played good defense during the regular season the last few years. And it's hurt his teams. And one of the reasons why the Cavs were the four seed last year is because LeBron played poor defense for much of the year. And he turned it up in the postseason, and it's hard to look at LeBron and say, give me more. But sometimes that's what the coach has to do. The coach has to get in LeBron's face and say, give me more. And, I, you know, that'll be a big test for Luke Walton. The other thing is, you know, Luke Walton is a system coach.
Mm-hmm.
He was educated by a very much of a system coach in Phil Jackson. Now, he doesn't run the triangle, but he runs definitely a system. LeBron is sort of the anti-system player. LeBron is like the solar system, literally the star. Everything moves around the star. So the way Luke Walton has coached and the way LeBron has played are very different. So it's going to be a significant challenge for him. And especially for a young coach that doesn't have a lot of experience, it's going to be a real challenge. And the thing about it is, I'm looking at their talent. Like I said, I look at them and say they could finish anywhere from 5 to 9. That's an area where a coach comes under scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a bad team, okay. If you're a good team, okay. It's in the middle when the coach can make a difference where he faces a lot of the scrutiny. And I think that's what Luke Walton is headed for.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN. Brian, why did LeBron choose L.A.? Is it bigger than basketball? We have not heard very much from him publicly. What do you think his reasoning was for the move?
You know, he hasn't articulated it, and I assume he will at some point, although it may come piecemeal. I think this is going to sound silly. He chose L.A. because he chose L.A. And what I mean by that is he chose everything that is about Los Angeles. He didn't, you know, looking out there at his options, there was not a great basketball option for him. Some people would have argued that Philadelphia fits that bill, and from a talent standpoint, I get it, but from a fit standpoint, I do not think his game fit in Philadelphia. there was no team that he saw out there where he could step in and instantaneously be at the absolute top of the game, where like he did when he went to Miami last time. You know, while people disliked the move, there was an understanding of why he did it, even if he didn't like it. Here in L.A., I just don't think that it's a great basketball decision. I don't think that they're going to be a great team. Now, they could be a great team come the spring because they may have a different roster. They could be a great team a year from now. But he's sort of betting on Los Angeles and the draw of himself, and he's already got kind of one strike against that because Paul George, who admittedly grew up dreaming of being a Laker, had a chance to step in to Los Angeles alongside LeBron James to play for the Lakers in an incredible resurgent moment, and he passed and decided to stay in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And so this comes on the heels of a year where Kyrie Irving raised his hand and said, "Get me out of here. I don't want to play with LeBron anymore." So I don't know what this means going forward, but I do know that Los Angeles sport decades and for decades into the future has been a magnet for great players, and I suspect he'll get another one in there, but until he does, he is going to be on a, you know, so-so team for the first time in a long time.
Do you think something happens with Kawhi before the start of the season, or do you think they ultimately get him next year, next summer?
See, when I look at the Spurs right now, I see a team that has not decided to trade the player yet. And one of the reasons why I think they haven't decided is that they haven't had a chance to get in a room with them and really talk it out.
Right.
And they also have that thing in their pocket, which is that Supermax contract. They have not offered it yet, which is remarkable. And they have their reasons, obviously. But they still haven't talked to him, and they still haven't made that offer. I think they still have some cards to play. Now, maybe he swats away both opportunities and ultimately they're there, but not having played those cards yet, I think what they're waiting for is a Brooklyn Nets type offer that, you know, got the you know, it triggered the Celtics rebuild, and it was basically the mother load. And I think what they're saying is, if you offer the mother load, we will listen to it, but we aren't incentivized to trade him for that right now. And you look at, if you're Boston or Philadelphia, you're like, why would we pay the mother load when the guy may walk on us in a year? So it's a difficult game of leverage, but I just don't think the Spurs have decided to trade him yet. Now, they may decide. They may decide in a week. They may decide in a month. They may decide in January, and that's probably where it's headed. But I can also see why they're slow playing it, because going fast here I don't think behooves them.
Brian, always appreciate
your time, man. Brian.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care, guys. Have a good week.
Yep.
You too.
He is Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN, always breaks it down. He loves the Grizzlies. Brian Windhorst loves the Grizzlies. That makes me feel better.
I told you they're making the playoffs.
That makes me feel better. I got to tell you, when I hear Brian Windhorst say
that, I'm shocked that it came from him, that he feels good about their chances.
He's normally, I mean, I don't know if I'm breaking news here. Brian Windhorst is normally a pretty pessimistic guy, right?
Yeah. Just overall.
Yeah, overall. It's just kind of his disposition.
And then you throw a thing like him, like, are they going to win 50 games? You figure he's going to tear into it. No, they're not. He feels good about their chance to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
You hear David Aldridge tweet last night that he feels the Grizz can be a contender. You got that from Brian Windhorst. I mean, at some
point. To his point, though, who are the easy wins in the West?
No, that's
true. Even Sacramento's got talent. They got some talent. They got your boy.
Grizzlies will be able to beat the Kings.
You should.
Hold on, let's do
you
this.
Better.
Hold on, let me go through this.
That
here.
Lakers thing is going to be interesting.
He did not guarantee the Lakers going to make the playoffs? Come on.
I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They have LeBron.
He had them anywhere 5-8 and possibly out. He knows they're going to be they'll be in the playoffs.
I mean, he's right. I mean, it's definitely like there aren't any gimmies per se.
Phoenix a lot better than
they
were.
In the West.
You were 1-3 against them last year. I realized you were tanking.
Like the Clippers, that's an easy win.
Yeah, now they're coming out. They're falling out. You're right.
But yes, I mean,
there ain't many. That's what I'm telling you.
Does San Antonio become an easy win depending on what happens with Kawhi? You know what I mean?
They're taking a step back one way or the other.
What about Minnesota? They're a mess. I mean, they're not an easy win per se, but you're going to win, you know, if you play them four times.
They don't like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, like you're going to beat them twice.
I have a feeling like things are about to get broken up.
So there are going to be teams that fall down that the Grizzlies will be able to, you know, to prey on. But, as it stands today, yes, it is
daunting was the word you used, and that is what it is.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I'm surprised by his optimism.
But very interesting.
But happy to hear it, I'll tell you that.
From Brian Windhorst. We'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.